Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Today is, of course, a puppy-studded spectacular. We have the most amazing little Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies ever, and they are just the darlings of Facebook, and so excited that we're able to bring them to you. And those of you who haven't been able to see the puppies because you don't know where to find them, you want to go on to Merlin's Kids, and it's a nonprofit charitable organization. You'll see that on Facebook. You can follow these delicious puppies through their developmental stages. Some people have been following them since literally the moment they were born. Very exciting to bring new lives into a new place. What's most exciting, though, I think, is seeing the development and how they go from being these dull, lifeless, little knuckle-headed things that barely do anything. And then they suddenly become, these actual little dogs, which is where they are now. And it's just so cool to watch them and to see the development. Well, these guys are very fortunate because they have been born into an amazing home with some incredibly stable, beautiful adult dogs. And actually, these guys at 7.5 weeks of age are already housebroken, believe it or not. They are completely going to the bathroom on the papers. They're doing all those things that most people wouldn't have a puppy do until it's 5 or 6 months old. Why is that? Well, because they learn the right way from the beginning. And it's an exciting thing for them because you can see how excited they are. I'll be there and like I come home and sometimes it's 3 or 4 hours and they're just little guys. But they understand the concept of, I'm not allowed to do this or that. So they grow up really having the best start possible. But what about those dogs who don't get that best start? What about our rescue dogs who, maybe grew up underneath a trailer or didn't have a mama dog at all and didn't have anybody to teach them? Well, they need love too, and they need to have a home as well. And what's great about it is by using the natural canine behavior rehabilitation that we use at United Canine Professional, the puppies, depending on what age they are, they're able to do certain things, but all puppies are able to develop the way these puppies have. Now, what should you expect of a puppy at this age? Well, it depends. What do you expect from your kids? Kids sometimes look a little bit older. You might have a tall child or a child who seems to be mature, but we tend to forget it's still a child. It's still a puppy. So right now I'm broadcasting from my studio, and we have the puppies, and I was hoping they would make a little noise so you could actually hear them, but they're so darn well behaved they don't do anything wrong at all. But they're all doing their business and coming over and visiting. There's no barking. There's no craziness. And they do have a great life. They're playing and running. They just learn the rules at the beginning. Well, some dogs aren't that lucky. Most dogs aren't this lucky. These puppies are the luckiest puppies in the world because they're growing up with not only their mama dog and their uncles and aunts, and not only are they growing up with organic food, there you go, there's some puppy sounds. I'm trying to get these guys to make some noise. But they also grow up with behavioral help. In other words, these guys grow up already understanding the basic behaviors. None of them jump on you if you come in. They don't jump on you. They don't rip your shoes off. They don't try to pull your pajama bottoms down. We had one litter, I remember, about 30 years ago, and I nicknamed them the piranha puppies because that was before I was doing quite what I'm doing now. And they were really obnoxious. They would just pull your jeans down and pull your socks off. But, looking back at it, we probably thought it was cute. Well, it's not cute when they're 100 pounds. It's cute when they're, 8 pounds or 10 pounds. But it's not so cute when they're big. So just remember, no matter when you get your dog, whether it's a puppy or an adult, just start teaching him from the moment he gets to your house. Just start teaching him how you expect him to act. I think people get too hung up on, I've got to make my dog sit, got to make my dog lie down, got to make my dog do all these tricks. Why? Why does your dog have to do party tricks for your entertainment? Can't your dog just love you and want to be near you? Can't your dog just love being around humans and other animals? Why can't we just do that? And you look at this, and as I watch Brandy playing with Bruiser, who's absolutely stunning. He's the puppy with the four white socks. And that was a puppy chewing on other puppy's nose. Just ended that real quick. But you see, it's done very calmly. We don't want to get mad at them. We're not trying to teach the puppies to be afraid of us. It really bugs me when people say, you have to dominate the dog. You have to show them you're dominant. You have to show them who's boss. Well, you do have to show them who's boss, but in a kind way. Just imagine how many of you hate your bosses. Well, you hate your bosses because your bosses are like, I'm the boss. Well, nobody likes that attitude. So instead of trying to insist and demand respect, try to command respect. When you command respect, that's when you're loved. People follow you. Animals follow you. I can't even begin to explain the number of people who have told me throughout my life, I don't understand why dogs just, like, they listen to you. They follow you. And Barbara Kelly, who's was a client who is now a recently graduated member of United Canine Professionals, and Barbara lives in New Jersey. She's awesome. And Barbara actually was with me. We were out by a coffee shop, and there was a little cute little Shetland sheepdog tied outside on one of the big pottery, planters. And we kind of looked at each other like, it's really cold, and this dog is just out by itself. And this thought crossed our minds to, well, listen, somebody abandoned the dog. Let's take the pup and take him home and see if we can find who the owner is. Well, I thought, gee, let me walk into the store and let me see whose dog it is. Maybe by some chance there's somebody who is actually leaving their dog inside the store, and or leaving themselves inside the warm store while their dog's outside. Well, it was a weird kind of situation. A gentleman who said, well, why would anybody take the dog? It's my dog. And the dog really barely even was bonded to him. I mean, dog didn't seem excited. I mean, certainly my dogs go berserk when they see me to a point where it's almost embarrassing. They just love me. Well, why didn't this dog feel that way about the owner? I don't know. But it was interesting because Barbara said to me, you know, geez, Janice, it was kind of funny that the whole situation and the way the dog gravitated to you and went right to you as if it knew that you were going to take care of it. And that's exactly an energy, and that's what we talk about with energy, about the energy of a leader, not demanding things, but commanding. You know, it's a very important aspect of behavior, because if you aren't going to have a commanding presence and you're not going to ensure and assure that dog the safety and security, then the dog isn't going to trust in you. And if the dog doesn't trust in you, you're probably not going to have quite as deep a bond as you would if your dog was, watching you as the leader. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be mean. We all have had bosses through the years, and some of the bosses are good and some are bad. But the demanding, bossy ones, that's where the word boss comes from, aren't the ones we usually follow and try to help. The ones we're on the same team as are the people who are fair and just and confident, and we follow them naturally. And that's what we're going to talk about today, following naturally. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. We're talking puppies today. We're talking about how to make sure that the moment you get your dog or puppy home, immediately that dog or puppy starts to trust you and believe in you and feel that, hey, I've got a good mommy who's going to take care of me. I've got somebody who's going to provide for me and who's going to protect me. And the problem is, if you don't have that relationship with your dog, then your dog may decide that it's his job to protect you. And if it's his job to protect you, then that relationship isn't the way it should be, and you're probably going to wind up with some behavioral issues in the future. Now, how can you prevent that? Very simply, just become the leader. It sounds very silly and trite, but if you're it, then the dog isn't. If the dog is it, then you're not. So if you're able to teach the dog by setting some basic ground rules and setting some basic guidelines so that the dog understands what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, and then you'll wind up being the leader and the dog will naturally follow you. If you don't naturally have the dog following you and understanding and doing the things that a dog should do, basically deferring to us as humans, as the leaders, then you're possibly going to have some issues. So let's talk about some of the issues that can pop up because dogs aren't either socialized or taught right from the beginning. Well, I'm letting the puppies do this. I've actually got them in my studio, and it's a pretty large room. It's, I don't know, maybe 30-something by 20. And they're getting around pretty well in the puppy racetrack. But what's happening is, as you hear, they're playing. And what happens when they play is they set guidelines and ground rules for each other. You'll see them play differently, each puppy, with a different one of the puppies. So, for instance, girl one might play very rough with girl two, but might play more gently with girl three, or vice versa. A boy might play more rough with a boy than he did with a girl. There's no hard and fast rule, but there is a different interpersonal or inter-puppy rule depending on the individual guidelines that each puppy sets. Now, what does that mean as far as what your rules are? Well, my rules are if the puppies are playing and they're taking turns and the mama dog is playing and they're enjoying themselves and you hear them in the background, then I'm cool with that. That's fine. If they get a little over the top, so for instance, if they, now they're being more quiet, if they're a little over the top and they get a little too rough, all I do as the supervisor is I teach them, hey, you're not allowed to do that. I correct them, and now actually, because I walked through them, everybody seems to be much calmer. Now, I have the mama dog in there, the aunt, the uncle, including YY. Uncle YY's there. So what happens when the puppies are kind of looking at each other and getting a little rough, if one of the big dogs, or myself, walk through them, the puppies will naturally stop doing what they're doing and will look to us for guidance. Now, why is that so incredibly important? Because when the puppies are older, and let's say they're going to go bark at something, or they see something, or there's another dog, they'll naturally look to me or to the human in order for them to feel protected. If they feel protected, then they don't need to protect. That's where dog aggression can come from. When a dog feels that not only aren't you protecting yourself, but you're not protecting him, then he may feel that he's got to do that job. And if he feels he's got to do that, you're in for a behavioral issue. Sorry, but that's going to happen. Now, does it mean that every dog who isn't raised properly ends up with a problem? Well, no, obviously not. Does it mean there's a very high tendency, very high propensity towards dogs developing behavioral issues? Absolutely. Now, what determines that? Well, a lot of things. The way the human is. The calmer the human and the more confident and in control, not dominant, not arrogant, not assertive, but the more confident and calm the owner or the human is, the more he will naturally be perceived as being the leader. The more you are the leader, the less the dog is. And that's the whole basics, is understanding why what you do affects your dog's behavior. And what your dog does sometimes can affect yours. So let's go back for a moment to these puppies who seem to have vegged out a little bit and they're much quieter now. Well, why are they doing that? Because I walked through them and I kept walking. Brandy walked through them and kept walking. So the puppies will naturally follow because they're looking to see what we're doing. The key is, when you're playing with the puppies or you're doing anything with the puppies, is being consistent. Now, consistent, that's a great word. You guys hate it. What does consistent mean? Does it mean you have to train them consistently? You have to always, you know, keep making them sit or making them lie down? Well, if you don't have anything but time on your hands, yep, that could definitely work. But unfortunately, the fact that you're training them to do a trick doesn't change their behavior, doesn't change their state of mind. All it does is it changes what you think is going on. It doesn't really change it in the dog's mind. So let's say, for instance, you teach the dog, rules and boundaries. All right? The dog is going to understand how to behave, how to act, how to interact, what to do, where to do it. But by training a dog to sit or lie down or come or whatever those things are that everybody wants to train their dog to do, that only generally will work if the dog has the treat or the reward that it was working for. So think about it. Now, I call you up and I say, hey, you're on the couch there. I need your help. Or you're in the car driving. You're listening on podcast at work. Please don't get caught. All right. Well, you're there. Now, I need your help. I need you to help me clean out my garage. Can you come over and help me clean out my garage? I will give you a 5-pound lobster. And if you like lobster, you're going to get yourself over there and you're going to help me. Now, if I give you that lobster and you say, wow, that was really great, and I call you next week and I say, hey, can you help me work on my workshop now? I need help on that. And you say, okay, I'll definitely help you on the workshop. Same thing? Yep, lobster again. Okay, great. But this time I only get you a 4-ounce slipper lobster or a 6-ounce slipper lobster. Now, I still got you the lobster. I'm not lying to you, but it's not quite what it was the first time. So now I call you up and I say, oh, my basement is a mess. Could you come over and help me? And, you know, come over and you give me a piece of cod. Now, you call me another week later and you say, hey, Janice, I need help. My bathroom's a mess. Can you come over? Do you think I'm coming over? Why would I come over when you are a liar? You started out by giving me something, and then you decided to change it, and then you decided to completely change it altogether. No, I'm not coming because I can't trust you. So if you can't trust yourself or you can't trust the dog and the dog doesn't trust you anymore because of this whole situation, now, if you started out by giving him treats and now you're not giving him treats, you're in effect lying to him. Well, why is that a problem? Because our whole relationship with our dogs is built on trust and respect. Well, now you're not gaining his trust or his respect because you lied to him. Now, not in human terms, but certainly in dog terms. I'll explain a little bit more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I just wanted to throw a quick shout out to some of our winter 2015, well, actually 2014 to 2015 graduates of United Canine Professionals, Dia DeAngelis. We want to definitely Dan Green, awesome, who is connected with Jill Ennis, who's a wonderful, wonderful lady. Kathy Latosha, you guys are amazing. Barbara Kelly, I know I'm going to miss a bunch of people. Katie and her pup, Matey, we love you, and you're doing great. Tyler Rollins, who's over by our farm in Missouri, and he is going to be a real great presence in our Missouri area. We've got DJ Wright, who's in North Carolina, who's already just really showing so much promise. We have just so many people. I know I'm missing half the class or more. But, you know, the goal is to make sure that everybody understands that this is not something that you're necessarily born with. You're born with a certain aptitude and a certain drive and desire to do good things for good people. And it doesn't always happen that you right away, when, you know, you're young, that you determine what you want to do. But more often than not, you know, a lot of times I think what happens is that people are kind of feeling that they're, you know, they're not in the right job. They're not in the right frame of mind. And, you know, that kind of stinks when you're into your 40s already and you still realize you haven't found what you love. But it's great when you do find what you love and you find like-minded people. And I've got to admit, United Canine Professionals is about the best. We are just so excited to have our amazing people in there. And, you know, one of the very special people, Nessa Tallow, who has one of our Rhodesian Ridgebacks, Lola. It's very exciting when we have people like her who have done a lot of really cool things in their lives and are just wonderful, wonderful people. But they, for whatever reason, find that the dog brings them to us. And sometimes that's what happens. Barbara Kelly, that's exactly her Shelby. She was having problems. Shelby was very aggressive, and she was going to be faced with some very, very difficult choices. Well, because I came to the house and fixed Shelby and changed what she was doing and changed what Barbara and her family were doing, Barbara is now going to be helping us to help more dogs and change more lives, which is very exciting. Carrie Ruge. Carrie is awesome. Carrie is from, she's actually at Rutgers, a student, and is just super talented and is helping us with Merlin's kids. We're so excited. We have Shira Mechanic. Shira is a unique person, unique young person who is starting her own business already and is going to be helping us training service dogs for Merlin's kids. We're so excited about her. And, you know, it's just, there are so, so many different kinds of people who are out there and who are, you know, doing great things that are helping other people. And you know, it's very important for everybody out there to understand, you know, not every dog is, you know, is going to be the best dog in the world. But we don't have to be able to completely change every single thing. What we need to do, honestly, is basically just changing the humans to be able to change the dog. And, you know, like Kara Masullo. Kara's awesome. And, you know, she's also one of the younger people in there, and a lot of high hopes for her as well. You know, I think that what's the most amazing part about United Canine Professionals is the ability of team building, of us to have people from different areas, different walks of life, Katie Holland and all the other people, a lot of young people who have so much potential. And we really, truly love to be able to get people out there finding what they love. Because if you don't find what you love, it's really hard to be happy in life. When you just have a job and it's just a job, it's a difficult thing. But when you love it and you're passionate about what you do and you just can't even believe how incredible, you know, all of the things are that you get to do, well, I think that's one of the most amazing things in the world, is to be able to, you know, really understand and really appreciate the differences, the different types of people who are out there. And, you know, in this graduating class, like I mentioned, we have just some amazing people, Barbara Kelly and Kari Masullo and Kari Ruge and DJ Wright and Dan Green and Dia DeAngelis, Hunter Alarcon. Hunter's a cool guy. He's a veteran, and he's going to be helping us to train service dogs for veterans with PTSD. We're very excited about him as well. Kathy Latosha, who's up there in the Syracuse area, awesome lady, Katie Holland. And we have, you know, our little matey, which is Katie and Matey, which is her dog, Nessa Tallow, Sheer Mechanic, Tyler Rollins, and like I said, who's out in Missouri, and Stephanie Hotchkiss, who's also, she's a dentist, and she's an incredible lady who is, I think, really going to make a lot of changes and a lot of differences in the world. And we all come from a different background, and that's okay. It doesn't matter if we're all coming out and starting from a different place, as long as we end up getting into the same location and doing the right things, doing good things for dogs, and helping people. So how do you become one of us? How do you become one of the 180-plus people who we have? And by the way, we're starting our April class. April for our spring 2015 class will be starting in a few short weeks. What do you do if you want to get involved? Well, is it an instantaneous thing? Can you just blink and wish and say, I want to be part of United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids? No. We usually get anywhere between 150 and 200 people per quarter. Lately, we've been running at 200 people per quarter, and we only can take between 12 and 15 people. So we run somewhere between about 8 and 10% at most that we actually take. Now, what is it for you to be the one who gets chosen? Well, people who love dogs, people who want to do this and help animals for the right reason, not people who are looking to make millions of dollars. Can you make a nice living? Oh, yes, absolutely, you can make a wonderful living. But is that what it's all about? Well, a little bit, but really not. What it's about is teaching people and helping dogs and changing the mindset of those people who might have thought to euthanize their dog or to give their dog up to a shelter. Now, if you gave your dog up to a shelter tomorrow, and let's say you did that, what would happen to your dog? Okay, I'm going to talk about that in the next segment, but I want you to think about that. If you're even got the tiniest little inkling that you might have to give that dog up, quote-unquote, rehoming it, or putting the dog to sleep, you need to call us because we will help you. And we actually have an 800 number, 855-449-9288 is the Hi Wyatt, 855-HI-WYATT, and that's for Merlin's Kids. Or you can call 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S. 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS. 855-4-K-9-PROS. And we can help you. We'll help you on the phone free of charge. We'll let you know who is your local specialist and who's the person who'll be able to help you take care of your dog situation and help you to keep that dog. We don't want you to have to get rid of your dog. And with United Canine Professionals around, you won't have to get rid of your dog. So let's just decide that after this, we're going to be determining that every dog should be saved and can be saved. Stay tuned. I'll explain in a moment. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we want to do another little quick shout-out to Cindy L., very dear friend of mine, wishing you a lot of love and a lot of prayers for what you're going through in general. And we want to put a shout-out to you also for helping to save firefighters, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And we just are so grateful to have you in our lives and love you dearly. You know, we have a lot of people who are out there, not sure what I want to do. I'm not just quite sure yet what I want to do. And what do you think I should do, Janice? Well, you know, that's something that you have to determine on your own. You can't ask somebody else what they think. And that kind of drives me nuts, one of my pet peeves. When people say, what do you think I should do? Well, I don't know. I'm not you. What do you want to do? I'm not sure. Okay, well, are you leaning one way or the other? Well, yeah, I really don't want to get rid of my dog, but my dog is jumping on my baby or my dog nipped at the baby. And obviously, I can't let, you know, I can't let the dog bite the baby. Okay, well, why is it, why does it naturally follow that the dog and the baby are mutually exclusive? You mean you can't have a dog and a baby? Why not? I mean, I think that happens. I think people generally will wind up getting a dog, especially a lot of young couples, and then they have a baby, and they're like, oh, I didn't know that it was going to be so much work to have a baby. That's why we got the dog. Newsflash people here, dogs require a lot of work. And another newsflash, a special, babies require even more work. If you think you're going to have a baby within a year or two, please don't go and get a dog and decide 2 years later that, oops, the baby's too much work, and now you dump the dog. The dogs don't deserve that. That really is wrong on so many levels, but yet I see this all the time. So what can you do so that you don't have to put that dog to sleep or rehome the dog? Well, there are a lot of things. There are options for breed clubs. So if you have a purebred dog or a dog who basically is one breed, you can contact the parent club. Literally, I would bet you every single breed club, so every single Rhodesian Ridgeback has them, Doberman has them, Yorkie has them, and some of the times there's just so many, like with Chihuahuas and Pit Bulls, although Pit Bulls aren't a breed, but they are a division of them, but an American Staffordshire is a breed, and you'll see the breed clubs, the parent clubs will actually provide rescue services for dogs. Now, what are the deal breakers? Usually aggression. If your dog, if you've got an American Staffordshire Terrier that bit your baby and you give it into a shelter, they're going to euthanize it. If you give it to a rescue group, if they even took it, chances are the dog is going to wind up doing it again. And it's either going to be living in a cage for the rest of its life or in a sanctuary, hopefully, or it's going to be euthanized. Don't think that somebody else is going to be loving your dog more than you are. If you have a problem with your dog, don't give up on the dog. If you have a dog who's urinating all over your house and you give him up, well, what happens if you've got a child who wets the bed? Are you going to give your kid up and say, oh, I'm going to put him up for adoption and get one that doesn't wet his bed? You would never think of that, hopefully. But that's what the problem is. We, quote-unquote, rehome dogs because it makes us feel better to rehome them. No, you made a commitment. Yes, sometimes you did make a commitment and things change. That happens in life. But I'm sorry, it is not the case that every single dog that when there's a baby born, oh, our baby's allergic to the dog. Really? It's a poodle. How is your dog allergic to how's your baby allergic to a poodle? So think about it before you get a dog. Remember, a dog isn't like, oh, I'm going to buy a stuffed animal, and if I get tired of it, I'm just going to throw it away or give it away to somebody else. A dog is a life. It's like a human, actually better than a human, because dogs don't do half of the terrible stuff that humans do. So what do you do in order to make sure that that doesn't happen to you? Get my book, for one thing. It's a whopping $9.99 on Amazon. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H Happens, Dog Behavior 101 by Janice Wolfe. It's $9.99. The reason I made it so incredibly inexpensive is that I wanted to make sure that everyone could afford it. There are so many rescues and shelters that make it mandatory reading. I didn't want to make it $25, even though it should have been. So the book, the paperback, will come out very soon, or actually the hardcover, I should say. But if you have a Kindle and you can do something on that, you can go on Amazon, you can get my book. If you read that book and follow it like it's a recipe for a cake, and you read about the genetics, you read about the upbringing, you read about the developmental phases, the nutrition you should have the dog on, how to walk the dog properly, why it's important to walk your dog, not just for exercise, because you're never going to out-exercise a dog, even a Yorkie, you're not going to out-exercise, but it's the concept of the dog seeing you as the leader, as the protector, as the provider. So it's very, very important. But why would you give the dog up? Well, things change sometimes. But do the right thing and find somebody you know who will take that dog. Now, what do you do if the dog has a bite history and you can't find anybody who would take a chance on the dog? That's when you call us at United Canine Professionals. If you find somebody who takes the dog and the dog has a behavioral issue, they should call United Canine Professionals, 855-4-K-9-PROS, because we can help you and help them. And if the dog didn't have a behavioral issue, you wouldn't have a problem giving it up. You wouldn't need to give it up, but you wouldn't have a problem with somebody taking the dog. Now, if I had to give up any of my dogs, Wyatt or Whisper or Brandy or Romeo or Savannah or Fallon or any of my dogs or little Lexi, well, I can assure you that we would have a bunch of people fighting over who got to take them because they are literally the best dogs in the world. If you have the best dog in the world and you do the right thing by the dog and the dog is now healthy and happy and well-adjusted and you need to get rid of the dog because your baby's allergic to the dog, you're going to have a dozen people beating down your door and saying, hey, I want your dog. Let me adopt Fluffy. He's the best dog in the world. But the dogs who are the best dogs in the world already have homes. Those are the ones that people will take. So dogs in the shelter, very often, it's just people not knowing what to do. It's people having a fit and saying, you know what, I'm done with having this dog peeing all over my house. I'm done with having this dog knocking my grandmother down the steps. I'm finished with this whole situation where this dog is just eating everything and jumping on everything and pulling us down in the street. I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore. He's a great dog. He's the best dog in the world. But what's wrong with him? He's got behavioral issues. So all the sitting and lying down and telling him and throwing him cookies isn't going to change his behavior. It's not going to change his state of mind. It's just going to change his body position. And as far as I know, I've never seen a dog turned into a shelter or euthanized because he wouldn't sit. It's always something that the dog did. It's something that he did that was so egregious, so horrible, that the owners decided they had to give up on the dog. And it's a real shame because most dogs are just fantastic and just waiting to be loved. And the problem is that the humans and the dogs speak a different language. And if you don't understand what your dog is saying to you, then how do you expect to communicate back? He's speaking a language, you just don't understand it. That's what I try to do every single week, is to teach the humans what to do and how to change what you do in order to change your dog's behavior. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about dogs, and we're talking about what puts dogs into the shelter or rescue. There are some pretty crazy excuses. Oh, well, my old dog doesn't get along with my new dog. They got along for a while, but the new dog's a problem. He was messed up at his old owner's. He was perfect when he got to us, but, oh, it took him about 2 years, and after 2 years, he suddenly turned into a terrible dog, and he attacked our first dog. So we're getting rid of him. Well, if suddenly, one day, your two dogs just attack each other, I kind of find that a little difficult to believe. I think more than likely what happened is, initially, there was a problem or a very small problem that you might not have even noticed. And then through time, over and over, day by day, week by week, month by month, the dogs start to determine between themselves who's going to be in charge. Well, just remember, if you're in charge, your dog's not. If your dog's in charge, you're not. You should never let dogs work it out on their own. If I hear one more obedience trainer or trainer of, clicker trainer say, you just let your two dogs work it out. They'll work it out together. And, yeah, have you ever seen two dogs work it out? I've seen eyeballs hanging out of dogs. I've seen dogs with their sides ripped open or ears ripped in half or hanging off. I've seen dogs with their lips ripped off, literally. I had one little one myself that was a rescue that I found her after she was attacked by another dog. And does she like dogs? No. But guess what? It's not her choice. So now she runs around with my pack, and she's great. Somebody has to be in charge. Just remember that. It's not a matter of being bossy or demanding. It's a matter of being commanding, not demanding. So, what do you do and how do you try to get two dogs together? Well, first of all, the moment that you see a problem, the first time you see that the dog growls at the other dog, and especially with an older dog, when you're bringing a younger dog into an older dog's territory, the older dog might be protective and territorial, but it also might just be kind of tired of it. Imagine your 85, 90-year-old grandparent and, that you have your 4-year-old or 3-year-old child, and he runs up and he jumps on Grandpa's lap, and Grandpa looks at him and goes, oh, get that kid off of me. Ow, that hurts. Get off of me. Well, great-grandpa loves his little great-grandchild, but it's uncomfortable and it's inconvenient, and it's just rude. So instead, if little Johnny, 3-year-old Johnny, went up to great-grandpa and said, great-grandpa, I would really love to sit on your lap. Can I sit next to you or can I sit on your lap and we could watch the TV shows together? Well, great-grandpa is probably going to be much more likely to do that because it was done in a controlled manner, and the child asked for permission, and then the great-grandpa can say yes or no. But if you were drinking a cup of hot coffee and a little kid or a dog jumped up on you and knocked that all over you and the child or the dog and your furniture, you'd be pretty peeved. Well, so what do you do? Instead of, you know, getting angry at the dog for doing whatever the dog is doing, what you want to do is just teach the dog. Again, teach the dog what you want him to do. So instead of letting the dog jump up on you, you would very simply shush him, give him the shush sound, back him away for a moment till he gives you back your space, and then you go sit down on the furniture, and when he's calm and he's just hanging out waiting and you're reading the newspaper and you see or feel that he's there and he wants to come up, you can gently pat the couch and say, okay, honey, okay, and now he has permission. That's what happens with dogs. It's not that we don't want dogs to play or do the things that they're doing, but the biggest problem is that they're doing it without permission. They're doing it at inconvenient times. They're jumping up on your guests. They're running all over the neighborhood. They won't come when they're called. Nothing is going right. They're counter surfing. They're peeing in your house. They're destroying your things. They're chewing up everything. Well, if you're not willing to put in a little bit of time, and I mean a little bit of time, then don't expect your dog to be perfect. If you don't put time into a marriage, you're not going to probably have a very good marriage. If you don't put time into raising children, you're not going to have a very good relationship with your children. If you don't put time into baking a cake and you only bake it for 5 minutes instead of baking it for 25 minutes, don't complain when it's disgusting and slimy because you didn't cook it enough. Things require a certain amount of time. Now, the natural canine behavior rehabilitation takes much, much less time than any other form of rehabilitation or training. Why? Because it's just you living your life and letting your dog fit into your life instead of you changing your life to fit around your dog's behavior. So if you've got a dog who's jumping on guests and knocking them down and maybe even nipping them, so what do? You say, oh, I'm going to either leave them in the crate or I'm going to meet people at their house and I'm not going to have anybody over at my house. Well, how does that fix the dog? Does that do anything to fix the dog? No. All that does is isolate the dog, so now there is no experience, and there's no way for you to be able to train the humans or teach the dog that, hey, this is unacceptable behavior. Just teach your dog. If you teach him, he will respond. That's why our NCBR, Natural Canine Behavior Rehabilitation, is so powerful. It's not negative reinforcement. It's not positive reinforcement. It always kills me when people are like, well, it's got to either be negative or positive. Really? Is there a zero? You know, there's negative numbers, there's positive numbers, and then there's zero. We are like the zero. We are neutral. We are not training the dog to do something. We're not getting angry, and we're not throwing him a party and throwing cookies with, you know, Decathlon-like speed, cookie, 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 like it's, you know, being spewed forth almost like a machine gun, cookie, 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 cookie. And we're certainly never, never going to use shock collars like some people, even some of the TV people who've recently changed over because their sponsor uses shock collars, so now they do. You should not ever need to resort to anything other than what God gave you, your voice, which you shouldn't even be talking, but your mouth and your fingertips. That's all you should ever need to do. Anything more than that is abusive, and anything less than that is just expecting your dog to understand some ridiculous training method that somebody came up with. Dogs have been around for 5 to 12,000 years, depending on which way you look at it. And even if, let's say, at 5,000 years, dogs know what dogs know, and dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. Do you think they had clickers in Egypt with the pharaoh hounds? Do you think they were, like, throwing milk bones? Do you think they even had milk bones? Of course not. Dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. And if you don't understand that, then you need to read my book called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, Dog Behavior 101. And you'll read that book. You'll start understanding a lot more about animals and a lot more about dogs and why dogs do what they do. It'll talk about the different filial generations with breeding these designer disasters. It'll turn all the world upside down as far as explaining to you why dogs do what they do, the developmental phases they go through, how you should feed them, what you should teach them, everything you could possibly want to know. Well, I hope you're going to be reading the book, calling us at United K9 Professionals. And if you think you've got what it takes to be a service dog trainer, to work in a school using an institutional service dog trained in therapeutic facilitation or behavioral intervention, or if you think you would like to become a canine behaviorist, then you need to contact us either at 855-HI-WYATT or at 855-4K9PROS. You can go on our website at merlinskids.org. Come to our art auction on Sunday in Teaneck, New Jersey. It's going to be awesome and some very reasonably priced, beautiful artwork. You can come meet Wyatt and a whole bunch of our service dogs. And we welcome you to join our Facebook crew, Merlin's Kids and United K9 Professionals. You can read about us on Facebook. You can Google us to see all the cool things we do. And we wish you a very happy, healthy week. Lots of love to those who you love and to, of course, your animals. And stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be next week, same time. Have a wonderful weekend.